Now I'd like you to listen to Brother Jason Francis from the Yellowknife Congregation in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. He's going to handle the final part of the symposium, Who Will Not Inherit God's Kingdom?
Revilers.
If you look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, reviling then is the practice of vilifying or criticizing others with insulting, derogatory, or abusive language. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to James chapter 1 and verse 26, and we'll take a moment to consider how serious Jehovah views reviling. There in James 1 and verse 26, it reads, "If any man thinks he is a worshiper of God, but does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he is deceiving his own heart, and his worship is futile." So if a person had the habit of reviling others, or did so intentionally, even with their own family members, their other Christian works could be of no value to Jehovah. Yes, in the strongest possible terms, the Scriptures condemn reviling. The Bible makes clear that an individual who makes a practice of such speech puts himself in a very dangerous position, as he could lose out on kingdom blessings. Well, what can we do then to ensure that we never fall into the trap of using speech that is unwholesome, untrue, or unkind? First of all, we need to meditate on the good in others, just as Jehovah does. Jehovah knows the fight that each of us is putting up against our enemy Satan, and he appreciates our efforts despite our limitations. Well, should we not always take the position that our brothers are doing their best in view of the circumstances? That's how Jehovah views us. And it's Jehovah's view that we need to assume ourselves if we are to be successful in counteracting reviling. A second way is by avoiding all forms of harmful speech that create a climate that's conducive to reviling. One of such forms of speech is talk that is negative. You know, it's a fact that all of us have opinions and tastes about things that we may not like. But have you ever been around someone who seems to have a negative opinion about almost everything that comes up in conversation? Well, their speech tears down. It's discouraging, isn't it? At Ephesians 4 and 29, it tells us that we should not let a rotten word come out of our mouth. So since reviling can start with rotten words, we need to avoid any speech that is negative. A second form of speech is harmful gossip. The line between harmless and harmful gossip can really be treacherously thin. Oftentimes, even attempts to say something nice about someone, if we're not careful, can head in the wrong direction. And such talk becomes harmful when it involves unflattering speech about others. In some cases, gossip can even be downright ugly. It can become the vehicle for transmitting lies and rumors about someone. And that really leads into the third form of speech that we need to avoid, and that's slander. Slander is a false report against someone that is meant to cause harm and damage the reputation of another. Well, the reason that we need to make a determined effort to avoid negative speech is because one type of harmful speech can almost imperceptibly lead to another. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we'll consider verses 12 through 14. Here it is Solomon's words concerning the folly of not thinking before speaking. In verse 12, there it begins, "The words from the mouth of the wise one bring favor, but the lips of the stupid one are his ruin. The first words out of his mouth are foolishness, and his last words are disastrous madness. But the fool keeps on speaking." You know, the rapid progression that can occur if we don't think before we speak can be likened to sitting behind the wheel of a car placed in neutral on a steep hill. A person's first words might be of a complaining nature. The vehicle is now rolling. If we do not control our tongue or apply the brakes, these words may escalate into harmful gossip. Before we know it, into slander, we've lost control. And that would be disaster. As that scripture brings out, it uses the term disastrous madness. So as soon as we perceive negative thoughts or slip into any form of negative speech, what should we do? Well, you can think of the skill that's required to drive on a busy highway. Unexpectedly, it may be necessary for you to change lanes or to come to a complete stop to avoid a dangerous situation. It's similar with our conversation. If a conversation is heading in the wrong direction, we should apply the lesson we learned from Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 14. Do not keep speaking. Apply the brakes. Take action and quickly steer the conversation towards something positive. Well, let's take a moment and look in now on a demonstration that shows just how quickly negative talk can worsen if those engaging in it keep on speaking.
Phil, Judy, thanks so much for having us over tonight.
Oh, we're glad to. It's always so spiritually encouraging when we have our brothers and sisters over.
Oh, it is. And you know what? Before I forget too, Nancy and I wanted to tell you how much we really enjoyed your comments at the Bible Highlights the other night. They were just wonderful.
Well, thanks, Tim. But the whole meeting was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I've really been enjoying the Bible study lately, and it was so nice to see Sister Young give her first talk. She did such a good job. Oh, and then there's Brother Thompson's talk. Does he put you guys to sleep too? Because I know I sure couldn't stay awake.
Well, he always has seemed a little uncomfortable up on the platform. I guess public speaking is just not his gift.
Yeah, maybe not. But you know, he sure is comfortable giving counsel one-on-one. Can you believe it? He had the nerve to tell Tim that we're materialistic. He even said that if we really love Jehovah, we would sell our house and rent.
No way. He told you that?
Well, that's not exactly what he said.
No, but that's what he meant. And honestly, I've resented him ever since. I can't stand listening to that brother.
Well, what did he say, Tim?
Well, he told the old story about how he and Sister Thompson sold their larger house to move into the smaller one they're in now, and that's what's enabled them to start pioneering together. So then he asked if Nancy and I had given any thought to simplifying our life to expand our ministry.
Oh, Nancy, don't feel bad. You know, probably Brother Thompson is just jealous because you have your large house, and no doubt he regrets having sold his.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Besides, I heard that the desire to pioneer is not why the Thompsons sold their house.
Oh, you know, I wondered about that.
They actually fought about it. Brother Thompson wanted to keep the house, while his wife wanted to sell it so she'd have more spending money. Talk about being materialistic. Anyway, it got ugly. She started threatening to leave him, and he finally gave in to her wishes to sell the house. Huh, simplify. He had no choice.
Really? You sure this is true?
Well, of course I'm sure. I don't know everything they said to each other, but I do know they had a disagreement. That's probably why he's so uncomfortable on the platform. He knows he doesn't have freedom of speech.
Okay, let me get this straight. So, Brother Thompson did not simplify for spiritual reasons, as he'd have us believe.
He's just a frustrated old man who can't preside over his own household. So instead, he bullies people like me and Tim. Oh, he's such a hypocrite. He should not be an elder or a pioneer. Remember that if he ever tries to counsel you. Oh, and one more thing.
Well, did you note how quickly that conversation went from bad to worse and even set the stage for reviling? At what point could someone have steered that conversation in a more wholesome direction? Well, let us look in again and see.
Phil, Judy, thanks so much for having us over tonight.
Oh, we're glad to. It's always so spiritually encouraging when we have our brothers and sisters over.
It is. And you know, before I forget too, Nancy and I wanted to say how much we really enjoyed your comments at the Bible Highlights the other night. They were just wonderful.
Well, thanks, Tim. But the whole meeting was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I've really been enjoying the Bible study lately. And it was so nice to see Sister Young give her first talk. She did such a good job. Oh, and then there's Brother Thompson's talk. Does he put you guys to sleep too? Because I know I sure couldn't stay awake.
Well, he always has seemed a little uncomfortable up on the platform. I guess public speaking is just not his gift.
Well, maybe not, but you know what? I absolutely love working in service with him. He's so effective in the ministry.
That's so true, Tim. I've worked with him, and he's amazing at the door. And you know, there was a point from his part last night that I really appreciated.
The demonstrations that we just saw showed how quickly a conversation can lead to reviling. Yet as we saw in the second demonstration, negative speech can be averted. The skills and abilities that we need to avoid reviling can be found in God's Word, the Bible. The Awake magazine, April 2013 edition, considered the experience of a man named Troy. Now, Troy had grown up in an environment where domestic abuse was an acceptable way of life. Now a grown man with his own family, his wife spoke about the condition that existed in their home, saying, "I found his verbal abuse to be even more difficult to endure than physical violence." Well, the article highlights that Troy was able to overcome his problem. The Bible's practical advice, such as Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, which directs us to put away all forms of negative and abusive speech, is one of the many Bible verses that helped Troy to make a complete turnaround. He was able to replace his practice of reviling with speech that was kind, loving, and respectful, qualities that are required to be among those who will inherit kingdom blessings. Well, what have we learned from our symposium then this morning? Well, that sexually immoral people, idolaters, greedy people, and revilers will not inherit God's kingdom. Therefore, we here today who are seeking to be among those who will inherit God's kingdom and want to do Jehovah's will in order to please Him must avoid these practices. We need to steer clear of even those things that might lead us down the path to such serious transgression. You know, the numerous experiences that we've considered this morning show that those who are enslaved to such practices can break free with the help that Jehovah provides by means of His Word, the Bible, and His Spirit-directed organization. So friends, we encourage you to continue to apply the counsel that Jehovah so lovingly provides and be assured that no matter what problem we may be confronting, we can avoid any conduct displeasing to Jehovah so that we too are counted worthy of the kingdom of God.
Thank you, brothers, and each of your participants.